Radio Decidimos.
Bienvenidas, bienvenidos, bienvenides. Hoy empezamos el tercer día de Decidim Fest, con el foco además puesto en Decidim. Mi nombre es Pablo, soy Pablo Aragón, investigador en la Fundación Wikimedia y también miembro del equipo de Decidim, de la asociación, del Comité de Coordinación de la Asociación de Decidim y en la organización también de Decidim Fest. Y como comentaba, hoy es el tercer día y tras dos primeros días donde hemos ido revisando diferentes experiencias en torno al rol de la democracia y la tecnología en la justicia global, hoy vamos a aterrizarlo más en todas las experiencias que se han ido desarrollando a lo largo de este año en torno a Decidim. Y cuando se preparó un poco la call de este año, se estuvo pensando y se estuvo esperando que aparecerían diferentes instancias sobre diferentes geografías, diferentes latitudes, instancias novedosas respecto al uso de nuevas tecnologías o por el tipo de organizaciones que iban a hacer, que las iban a desplegar. Pero una cosa que nos sorprendió gratamente y que es lo que vamos a abordar en la sesión es que hubo tres propuestas que abordaban un tema común. Y además un tema común que no era un tema cualquiera, era un tema que es especialmente simbólico en el caso de Decidim, como es la ciencia ciudadana. Y digo que es especialmente simbólico porque hace tres años, en los seminarios de investigación del Lab de Meta Decidim, estuvimos discutiendo con diferentes personas de la comunidad de ciencia ciudadana de Barcelona y Cataluña sobre cómo poder aunar una visión participativa de la ciencia, como la ciencia ciudadana, y también la visión participativa de la democracia que impulsaba Decidim, para impulsar un paradigma de toma de decisiones y formulación de políticas públicas basadas en evidencia científica, pero participada a lo largo de todo el proceso. Por eso me hace especial ilusión poder estar hoy en esta sesión sobre ciencia ciudadana participativa y además haciendo hincapié en ese énfasis, aunque parezca redundante, en ciencia ciudadana bien entendida a través de la participación. Y para eso, para no gastar más tiempo, hoy tenemos nuestra primera ponente, que es Francisca Peter, de Open Systems, de la Universidad de Barcelona, donde nos presentará el trabajo que han estado realizando, que están realizando en este momento, con el proyecto europeo Coactuem. Adelante.
Muy buenos días a todos y a todas. De parte de Open Systems, os queremos presentar hoy nuestro proyecto más importante de momento. Y a ver si mis transferencias ya llegarán. Vale, y os queremos presentar nuestro proyecto más importante de momento, que se llama Coactuamos por la Salud Mental. Y es un proyecto europeo de Horizon 2020 que trabaja sobre ciencia ciudadana, como va a decir Pablo ahora. Coactuamos por la salud mental, especialmente queremos, como tratamos, de entender mejor las redes de soporte o de apoyo de salud mental. Y lo queremos entender mejor por un chatbot que estamos programando especialmente para esta ciencia. A ver si me funciona.
Ay, sí. Va con un pequeño retraso, generalmente. Sí.
Vale. Sí. Vale. Bueno, esa ciencia que hacemos dentro del proyecto promotor que se llama COACT, hacemos ciencia ciudadana social y entonces nos interesamos especialmente por las preocupaciones sociales. Y aquí trabajamos con diferentes grupos. Por un lado, los profesionales de la área en que trabajamos, y por segundo, lo que llamamos los expertos y que luego son nuestros co-investigadores, que son las personas que tienen esa preocupación social y entonces son los que más que nadie tienen también una experiencia y por esto son expertos en su campo. Vale. Los profesionales en el proyecto de Coactuamos por la Salud Mental claramente son los profesionales de salud mental y nuestros co-investigadores en el proyecto son primeras personas con problemas de salud mental o familiares de estas personas. Y los co-investigadores realmente son las protagonistas en el proyecto y hacen un parte muy activo de todas las etapas de la ciencia, empezando con la creación de la herramienta de medición, que en nuestro caso es un chatbot, Luego, interpretación de datos y al final también pasar a la acción, que claro, es una ilusión muy grande para los co-investigadores. En la etapa actual en que estamos, el codiseño del chatbot, las cosas que han hecho los co-investigadores son que han llenado el chatbot con lo que ahora son los contenidos, han también participado mucho en el diseño del chatbot con sus críticas e ideas, y ahora también están promoviendo la difusión y planeando la difusión con nosotros. Así que realmente, como en todas las etapas, son muy presentes. Vale. Por redes de apoyo en salud mental entendemos el entorno de cada persona, el entorno emocional y social de cada persona. Entonces, todos vosotras y todos vosotros hacéis parte de estas redes. Y en el chatbot queremos medir estas redes preguntando tres preguntas principales al lado de microvivencias que presentan los co-investigadores. Y veis un ejemplo aquí al lado, que tenemos un pequeño dibujo y una vivencia escrita, y luego preguntamos tres tipos de preguntas. El participante en el chatbot, ¿ha vivido una experiencia parecida? ¿Conoce a alguien que haya vivido una experiencia parecida? ¿O cómo actuaría en la situación presentada? Y con esto queremos medir los vínculos entre las personas con la salud mental. Quiero aclarar que, como en el chatbot hay dos grupos mayores, uno son los co-investigadores y han llenado el chatbot con vida y son los más interesados en los datos que creamos, y los otros son los participantes, y esperamos que sean unos 5.000 personas en el chatbot, y ellos interactúan con el chatbot a través de botones y dan sus respuestas, y entonces nos dan los datos, digamos. Vale. El chatbot será en cuatro idiomas, en catalán, en castellano, en alemán y en inglés. El chatbot es un programa en Python, trabaja sobre una database de MongoDB, y el código está presentado en GitHub. Así que si os interesa, podéis entrar. En Decidim encontramos un partner muy, muy perfecto para nuestro proyecto, porque a un lado podemos presentar nuestras fases de recerca perfectamente con lo que son los pasos de debate en Decidim, y también podemos dar los permisos a los diferentes grupos que nosotros tenemos, como los co-investigadores, tenemos los profesionales de salud mental, y está perfectamente representado en coactuemv.edu, que es una página web de Decidim, y muchas gracias a Decidim por lograr ese punto con nosotros. Y al fin quiero decir agradecemos muchas preguntas, porque en 7 minutos no podemos dar mucha información. Y si os interesa, podéis entrar a la web. Me quedaré un rato aquí, y también mi colega Isabel está aquí por responder cualquier pregunta sobre la página web. Y si queréis entrar al chatbot, aquí está escrito cómo funciona. Entonces, muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias, Francisca. Vale. No lo he comentado al principio de la sesión, como no cabemos todas en el escenario, vamos a ir saltando de ponente en ponente, y vamos a tomar la ronda de preguntas al final, un poco también para intentar impulsar preguntas que sean más transversales en torno a lo que van a ir presentando los tres proyectos, y así poder generar un debate más holístico. Entonces, nuestros siguientes ponentes, tenemos a Maite López, de la Universidad de Barcelona, y a Jesús Cerquides, del Instituto de Inteligencia Artificial, del CSIC, y nos hablarán de su propuesta de Decidim for Citizen Science. Adelante.
Thank you, Pablo. What I'm going to talk today is this platform called Decidim for Citizen Science, and the idea is it's developed in the Crowd for SDG project. It's a European project which has two objectives mainly, to help young people bring forward citizen science projects, and that these projects analyze whether these projects are able to track the progress towards obtaining the sustainable development goals. And this is done with a set of partners which are down below. I'm not going to get into the details, but I'm going to signal out that the United Nations is one of the partners, and this is helping us a lot in understanding what the SDGs are. Okay, so let's start discussing a little bit what is citizen science. Citizen science is basically science which is done with the help of citizens in different ways. And there are many ways in which you can incorporate citizens, and this has been already investigated from the research point of view, and we can start at the very at the lowest level. We just ask citizens to provide us images or data. At the second level, called distributed intelligence, we ask citizens to provide us something more, such as classifying images or thinking, helping us think for us. And then on the third and fourth levels, we are asking for something more sophisticated. We are involving citizens as a full scientist into the proposal. So they are involved into the problem definition. What are the scientific research questions which are handled, and the data collection, the analysis. So it's a complete incorporation of the citizen into the scientific process, not just using the citizens, but also helping the citizens to do science. In order to reach this upper level of citizen science, with what is required is its self-organization, and self-organization can be provided in the form of accepting proposals from the citizen, letting the citizens debate, voting, receiving comments, notification, and so on and so forth. For those of you who know Decidim, these are exactly what the Decidim platform offers. So it was quite a straight away to put these two things together. And we did this, and we created this platform, which we have called Decidim4CS, and it's available on decidim4cs.ml. And basically what we have there is a Decidim instance with the wording changed and some functionalities changed to adapt to citizen science. And with this, I'm going to hand over to Mighty. Oh yeah, there are some example projects for Decidim4CS. We have worked on identifying evidences in the literature about children and COVID vaccination, and this has been done in the mark of the Geneva Tsinghua Initiative with the University of Geneva and the University of Tsinghua in China. There is also the Genigma project, which basically what we ask there is citizens to collaborate in building the reference genome. And this is basically was a collaboration which took place in the mark of the Barcelona International Jones Science Challenge. And their infrastructure disability, where we work towards a more inclusive educational infrastructure, also with students from the University of Geneva. And now, I really hand over to my team.
Okay. So our team comes from the Artificial Intelligence Research Institute, just as Pablo and Jesus said, and also from the University of Barcelona. And we work on artificial intelligence. And in fact, these days, we are holding the Catalan Conference on Artificial Intelligence. And yesterday, we presented the work that we have been doing on artificial intelligence for the Decidim. So I wanted to give you a brief details about what we have been doing and presenting just yesterday. So you might have in mind what a proposal in the CDM looks like. We have a proposal, and we characterize it symbolically. And for this proposal, people provide different comments, which we called arguments. So we might have arguments in favor and arguments against this proposal. But it is also the case that people provide their opinions about these arguments. So we can consider those arguments associated to opinions, and then our work has been to put together all this information and to aggregate automatically what will be the outcome of this debate. So we can automatically compute if this proposal should be accepted or rejected. Moreover, we have been working on defining resilience as a measure of debate quality. So we think of resilience as a robustness measure for decision upon the proposal to see how changes affect the decision. So for example, we might have a look at how can we add different counter arguments until the outcome of the debate, the decision upon the proposal, can be changed into a rejection, for example, if it was previously accepted. Moreover, we can also have a look at addition of opposed opinions. So again, the same, we can see how many synthetic or new opinions should we add until this proposal should be rejected. So the idea of resilience is that the more changes needed, the more resilient the outcome of the debate. So overall, we provide this information in a graphical way using radar diagrams. And of course, this is the example for the resilience for the example I used. But there are also other resiliences for different proposals. And that's all. Thank you very much for your attention. And you can find the CDM for CS at here, as Jesús said. Thank you.
Muchísimas gracias, Jesús. Muchísimas gracias, Maite. Y ya por último, pasaremos a la presentación que nos van a hacer Olivier Schaub de la Fundación Platonic. Creo que, no sé si lo he dicho bien.
Hey. No te he oído, Pablo, no lo siento mucho.
Bueno.
Hablaré en inglés para nuestros amigos de Suiza. Creo que tenemos Suiza, Finlandia, Francia, pero creo que se han quedado en la fiesta, o sea que. Anyway, I'll speak English because that's even better for me.
So y junto a Olivier también tenemos a Tairín Díaz de la Fundación Platonic,
yes.
La Universidad Oberta de Cataluña y Digital FEMS.
And Tairín will kick me in my leg in four minutes exactly. So we'll talk about the data enhanced proposal. So what is it? So let me try. So the idea around the Indices project is basically how can we democratize research. So we've seen a couple of examples there. By basically promoting a space to create what we call hypotheses of research with visual data and accessible narrative data. So that's basically our obsession here. That's going on its own, right? I didn't do that much. I'd like to go back. Basically, how can we open the doors to a wider participatory research? So we love, since this project is about cultural heritage and measuring the impact, social impact of culture, usually citizens think an observatory is about observing natural phenomena, like birds or like, you know, astronomy would be an example. And astronomy is one of the most exclusive, non-exclusive science, actually. So that's basically why we also look at historical examples. And it's this case of Wang Zhenzi, who was a famous change-maker female scientist. And she was able to explain and, you know, prove how equinoxes moved. So it's an example. So basically what we do as part of Indices, sorry about that, is basically we're building a collaborative online environment, just as the one we're just seeing, for deliberation, co-creation, and transparent dialogue between actors who usually don't dialogue with participatory tools, basically cultural heritage professionals, policymakers, researchers, and creative citizens and makers. So basically our obsession is to, you know, to create a space for better understanding of the social and economic impact of digitization of culture. So we basically started with the classic decidim. We all know about it. Actually, the co-creation of the observatory itself is an internal process, a bit very inspired by meta decidim, but that was not enough. All right. So basically, we realized in various projects, both charts and academics freak out with the operational design behind decidim. Right. So both of them thinks, fuck hell, it's too complicated. We know about that. So we really need not to work about it, but it reminds me, the architecture behind the city reminds me of what's the backbone on the backstage of what a beautiful museum. So look at all these treasures, these beautiful birds, you will never see them. Think about all these beautiful participatory processes in the city in Barcelona, you will never see them, because basically there's no dialogue possible, right? So that's basically our own challenge. So we need some new ingredients, and we love developing new ingredients, and I'll tell a bit about some of them, but very quickly, because you know, we don't have time. Custom fields for proposals. So don't give a white paper to a child or to an academic, they think the same. So I need to have a structure to think. Okay, so here's the structure. So we do develop the custom field proposal, and we have a demonstration this afternoon with the Make This Seem Marvelous Again situation. We also need conversations, bring back conversations. So we basically build that module, Notify, and it's basically about taking notes of an assembly or whatever collective thinking we're having, and it's, you know, we build up threads. Interesting enough, we're tracking who has said what. That's very important when you talk about citizen assemblies, for example. That's so important to recognize the authorships of who has said what in the debates, and it's important that the author is able to come back and edit its own comments, right? Even if to depend on the non-neutrality of note takers. We need visual deliberation. Childs and academics need that. So we took it out of the CDM because we can't do that right now on the CDM. So that an example of how we decided on what are our ethical pillars as a project. So this golden finch gets back to the CDM, and we use the accountability module. Just because that's an example. So we have a principle called accessibility and diversity. We have defined actions and indicators, and we measure that, and it's transparent. So everybody can know if citizen science and European funding goes the way it should go. Basically, and that's almost tearing time, the novelty of the project is that visual data and data analytics is in the center of deliberation. So not as, you know, fireworks that nobody understands and only experts can understand and express as a hypothesis for society. Here we try to integrate DCDIM and visual analytics, and I think that's your time. Maybe you can. You want me to?
Yeah, I think it works.
Well, okay, we need some data literacy, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So we need some data literacy before jumping into the visual data analytics.
Well, then basically what we're trying to do here, to democratize science, democratize a bit the access to research and the intersection with culture, is exactly to try to understand trends and signals from noise. So to do that, we are trying to integrate two technologies here, the CDIM and this dashboard that basically offers visualization over a bunch of sources, so either from the web, from news outlets, or from social media, etc. So here's what we can exactly see as a hypothesis author view. So using the custom fields to actually create our hypothesis, and the first hypothesis that we wanted to explore was exactly gender inequality in cultural heritage institutions. So here, one of the possible visualizations is exactly a tech cloud, so we can see a bit with sentiment analysis what that's going to look like. And another possible visualization as well is with a graph of keywords. So that allows us to understand a bit better what's going on when it comes to gender inequalities in cultural heritage institutions. And from that...
Just saying that's happened while you write your proposal.
Yeah. That's the hypothesis author view, totally. And from that, what we did was take the information that we found from the dashboard, from the integration of the two technologies, and go back to find treasures. So that definitely feed on a loop to look for more information, and those were part of the treasures that we found, information from the keywords that we had in the visualizations in the platform. So our effort here basically is to try to chip away, as we're seeing here in the slide, between the big institutional reports, basically information that's very privileged just in big institutions such as UNESCO, and try to develop spaces for different scales of reporting, data gathering, action, and interaction. So to keep on doing that, a little bit of an announcement advertising here. On the 23rd and the 24th, we're holding a boot camp, and it's basically on reimagining data as cultural assets. So we invite you, as Platonic, all of you, if you are interested in learning more and seeing more of what's happening in Indices Open Observatory, we're going to be holding that event those 2 days, and it's going to be awesome with 4 task forces. We're going to be working on data-driven proposals, also on gender inequality in CHIs, and many more. So thank you very much, and I hope to see you in the event.
El salario está debajo de vuestros culetes.
¿Cómo vamos de tiempo? ¿Cómo vamos? Vale, me dicen, tenemos tiempo para una pregunta, no para un comentario o una opinión, para una pregunta. ¿Del público?
Sí, una pregunta per Oliver, muy gracias. I was wondering if the visualization and the data dashboard is part of the participatory process, or is something that happens behind the doors, in the background, while the decision and the project is made? Thank you.
It's most definitely part of a participatory process. So our intention is exactly like from the beginning in establishing hypothesis of what might be going on, what are the trends or issues or signals that practitioners, citizens, whomever might be interested when it comes to culture, when they identify any of that, they propose, they can create a hypothesis in the platform, and from that directly already see the visualization, and from that even have a feedback loop, be able to go back to find more treasures from the information that they found, from the visualization by writing the hypothesis, and from that you have the spaces for conversations, you can have most definitely deliberation from the visualization that is being generated in the platform.
Just to add, the dashboard in itself is not part of the CD, but you can just like also do the other way around, just like navigate the dashboard and just fix a moment of your navigation and say, I have an hypothesis about the data, I'm just like, you know, focusing on right now, and at the bottom is in publish an hypothesis or a debate, and then you jump into the decision.